This is the Ethanol Report. Speaking with Bob Dineen, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association in Washington, D.C., which was a very active place over the holiday, over the New Year's holiday especially, and they actually got something done in Congress, and part of that is going to actually be a benefit for the renewable fuels industry. So, Bob, tell us what was included in the fiscal cliff package that is related to domestic fuels.
Well, as part of the fiscal cliff bill, they dealt with a number of energy extenders, tax provisions that were set to expire and in some cases had expired, and those included the cellulose producer tax incentive, the accelerated depreciation for cellulosic fuels, the alternative fuel infrastructure tax credit, and the biodiesel tax credit. All of these are extraordinarily helpful in terms of sending a signal to the investment community that government support for these new alternative fuels is going to remain constant and will continue to be there. Up till when the bill was passed over the weekend, it certainly was the case that tax policy in this country was encouraging investment in petroleum, in fracking, in deep water drilling. And all we've been doing is asking for, some effort to try to level the playing field. And by extending the producer tax incentive and accelerated depreciation and the others, they have begun to do that, and that is going to be helpful.
Now, how long were they extended for? Long enough for us to encourage investment in these alternative and next-generation biofuels?
Well, I wish that it were. I mean, any investor would like to see a long-term commitment to 5 or 7 years. In the battleground that is the United States Congress right now, however, that wasn't going to be feasible, and all they were looking for were one-year extensions of all of these tax provisions, and that is frustrating. But I think folks do understand that that's all that was on the table. And really, it's teeing up a longer conversation about what to do with our tax code, not just energy tax provisions, obviously, but everything. It does set us up for that conversation from a better position, having been extended. And I think that is going to be helpful. We want to have that conversation, because we want all energy tax incentives on the table. The oil industry continues to benefit from billions of dollars in taxpayer incentives to encourage drilling in places where maybe the marketplace is already encouraging investment and the taxpayer doesn't need to help. But let's figure all of this out. Let's get it all on the table and take it from there.
I think that a lot of Americans were discouraged by what was going on in Congress, the lack of compromise, the lack of any way to make any kind of progress. And I think a lot of us are looking ahead and saying, okay, well, what we did in the election was more of the same. We didn't change anything as far as the makeup of the House and of the Senate and, of course, of the White House. So what does that bode for you as far as the coming year, 2013, is concerned with a new Congress about to be sworn in?
Well, there's just no doubt that the 112th Congress was the most dysfunctional and least productive in history. But I view that as sort of a hopeful sign, right? Because as dysfunctional, as polarized as the 112th Congress was, we were still able to get bipartisan support for extending support for renewable fuels, for these important tax incentives. You've got 90 new members coming into the House of Representatives. You've got 20-some-odd new members coming into the United States Senate. Hopefully, they come in with an understanding that Americans are darn frustrated with the fractured nature of our politics, and that we have to work together in a bipartisan way on important national priorities. I think virtually every member of the United States Congress campaigned on energy security, energy diversity, rural economic growth, and these are issues that play particularly well for domestic renewable fuels like ethanol. So I'm hopeful that with a new Congress, we'll be able to be just as successful and we'll be able to keep the biofuels agenda moving forward.
Well, one of the things you've already said you're expecting in 2013 is renewed challenges to the renewable fuel standard, the RFS. When are you expecting that to come on the table in the new Congress?
Well, I do anticipate that there'll be hearings on the efficacy of the renewable fuel standard. I don't know if it comes in March or April or May, but it'll come sometime in the spring. It's typically when committees do a lot of their hearings and a lot of their work while they figure out what kind of legislation, if any, they want to move forward on a subject. I'm looking forward to those hearings, though, because I want to get the facts of the success of the renewable fuel standard on the table. I want members of Congress to understand that it is the RFS and it is the growth in ethanol production that has driven our dependence on imported oil down from 60% in 2005 to 45% today. I want people to understand that the ethanol industry is responsible for some 450,000 jobs, that we are adding to the economy, that we are lowering consumer gasoline prices. More than half of the United States Congress that's in place today was not around in 2005 or 2007 when we debated the RFS. All they've heard is the misinformation and the propaganda coming out of the American Petroleum Institute. So I'm looking forward to engaging this Congress, engaging the committee on a rational debate about the efficacy of the RFS.
2012 saw us starting a new joint effort, promotional campaign, if you will, for the ethanol industry through Fuels America. How is that going to play in 2013 to educate our policymakers in Congress as well as the bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. and the general public?
I think the coalition that is Fuels America is going to give us an important new tool to respond to the American Petroleum Institute's misinformation campaign. They've got $25 million that they have dedicated to undermining and repealing the RFS. They've made repeal of the RFS one of their top legislative objectives of the 113th Congress. You know, that is a formidable war chest. They are a formidable coalition. So I think the fact that the biofuels community has come together with its own coalition and combined their resources with a Fuels America campaign that will be able to respond to the nonsense is going to help assure us victory this year.
Bob, anything else you'd like to add as you look into the crystal ball ahead for 2013?
You know, I do view 2013 as a pivotal year in the future of the biofuels industry. We're going to have battles over the RFS. There will be continued challenges to E15. There will be continued challenges to the evolution of the ethanol industry into cellulosic and other advanced biofuels. But I think we're ready for those challenges. I'm certainly looking forward to this year and once again affirming the support that exists for domestic renewable fuels like ethanol. The fact that this Congress, 112th Congress, is finally coming to an end sort of sets us off on a good footing by extending these tax incentives, I think is a good start to what I hope is a great year.
And that is President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association, Bob Dineen. This has been the Ethanol Report. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.